This is audiobook of extracts of Forgotten Mystics in World Religions, Lesser Known Out of Body Experiences compiled by Marilyn Hughes, a book I came across because of internet search, as it also deals especially with a book I have translated to Norwegian. It is the book of Farnes, A Wanderer in the Spirit Lands. Link to bookmark below on that. Numbers read can be page number. Introduction. Forgotten Mystics in World Religions, Lesser Known Out of Body Experiences presents a fascinating path in the study of mysticism and out of body travel. In my studies, I have found that there are a great deal of forgotten mystics and thus, out of body experiences, in many religious traditions whose work was powerful, meaningful, vibrant and eternal. It seems unfortunate and definitely at odds with the will of the God that such works be lost in our time when such great effort was made during theirs to bring their individual out-of-body travel revelations to light. So we've decided to feature forgotten mystics and out-of-body travelers, some of whom are less forgotten than others, but all of whom have fallen out of the public limelight despite the fantastic and profound messages they were sent to receive and give to the rest of us throughout of body experiences. 12. Pensacher, Forgotten Rosicrucian Mystic. The High Mountain by Pensacher, Helen Merrick Bond. Pensacher lived in the mid-20th century, and the majority of her writings were published between 1958 and 1980. Her given name was Helen Merrick Bond, the daughter of a Congregational minister and sister to founder of Coral Gables in Florida, George E. Merrick. Although the whole family worked in education and community service, Helen's role would be different from the rest of them as she studied the path of the Rosy Cross, Rosicrucianism, her entire life. She had a great love for Christ and the cross, which comes through in her writings and initiations into many mysteries. She wrote many books all about her mystical experiences and the messages given to her in them by many spiritual personages. But most notably, she met the Master H, who was given to guide her on her life's journey and be a steady presence throughout her life. It was he who gave her the pen name which resonated with her heavenly name, Pensacher. In The High Mountain, Pensacher takes the reader on her journey of purification, which involves the ascending of a series of 12 planes of consciousness to reach the High Mountain. In each of these planes, she is met with different teachers, led to her by her Master H and given to teach her of a different level of knowledge. Although I have felt drawn to all of her writings, which include a great many books which will be listed at the end of the article, The High Mountain holds special intrigue for me as a fellow mystic because so much of it mirrors my own initiations into the mysteries, including the entities that she meets, such as the Christ, the Goddess Isis, Abraham Lincoln, a series of masters, councils of initiators, etc. Again and again the rod struck. New power, wholeness flowed through me. The throat center was expanded, and light circulated through my body as it fused with the centers of light. Consciousness of the two-in-one liberated physical karma still existing. At the ninth stroke of the rod the initiator uttered a chant. Attar of roses was sprinkled upon me. I felt the rod of light flowing its cosmic voltage through my body, regenerating all organs, awaking all psychic centers. So be it. Through the holy chalice let the rose bloom, spoke the three witnesses, Alden, Master H and Lincoln. The High Mountain, Pensacher, Euclid Publishing Company, NY, USA, 1978. But she also expresses many of the same concepts in identical detail which she was taught in the mystical realms as I, which for any mystic is a helpful tool in their own discernment of their experience. One aspect in this particular book which was much more reminiscent of the experiences of Edgar Cayce than my own was her constant guidance into the use of medicinal herbs for various purposes, many of which had not been proven at her time but have yet been shown in the years since her passing to be of remedial value in the very illnesses for which she was shown. Interestingly, in my own experience, Christ has come to me more often in the robes of an Essene than in any other form. In Pensacher's visions, he also comes to her as an Essene. While as a Catholic, I would often see the cross and crucifix raised high in the sky upon some triumphant mystical journey, Pensacia would always see the rosy cross, which is a symbol of a cross with a rose in the center which represents the sacrifice, resurrection and victory of Christ. I awoke to silence, centered in a circular expanse of golden atmosphere. All the preceding steps, the sum total of my initiations, lifted my consciousness into the holy silence of this seventh step. The Essene Jesus, the Christed One, a white dove silhouetted high above his head, stood, arms outstretched within the cosmic circle. The Guru H greeted me. "Come close, Pensacia. Here, sit in the silence of the Om, penning what is given thee." Obeying, I relaxed with peace beside a blue cosmic lake. Calm green grass, magnetic and restful, bedded my body with comfort. Master H stood erect gazing upon the waters. He spoke, "Pensacia, the seventh step is now to be climbed. In slumber you were softly transported here. Often through this medium does the master take the ready disciple through several steps on the way to the high mountain. On this seventh stratum the Christ is seen by the faithful disciple, or sensed physically, or in sleep. From here on the Christ rays charge the pilgrim, ever leading one to travel upward. In her journeys, she faced various entities which she refers to as the black ones who tried to tempt her away from her path, alluring her with promises of fame, fortune and the opportunity to be like God, even experiencing something so like the Garden of Eden it is uncanny. In my own experience, the forces of darkness were always at my side trying to prevent my sojourn to the worlds of light, as well. Suddenly, thunder and lightning, wild winds, bore through the calm. Two forces began struggling with me. The black masters, standing apart, sought by unholy rites to tear me away from my assignment on the most high mountain. The three venerables, H, Lincoln and Alden of the Rose, had vanished. Also the initiator, Dr. Charlie Wu. Only myself, battering with the forces of light and darkness. A smoky suffocating power sought to quench the work of the golden rod. Come what may, I would stand erect in the flame of gold. Holding to rose and cross, I spoke from the awakened throat center, "Begone, I work only in the light of the rose. Begone," I repeated. A loathsome, claw-like hand reached out from the smoky haze and lunged for my throat center. "Master, Master H, God of heaven, guardian angels," my cries rang out. No answer. I was alone, deserted. Death, or to vow allegiance to the Dark Master, was my only hope. Better death than to renounce the path and my assignment. The tightening upon my throat became more severe. The pressure increased. Steadily a stripping away of consciousness was taking place. "Alden, Alden, blessed Jesus," again I made plea. With my closing breath, I demanded, "By the rod of light, depart now, forces of black." And lo, by the power of the rod of light, as a miracle, the hand on my throat fell away, dissolved, and the stench with it. Free, alive and whole, I was. Master H stood by me, saying, "Well done, Pensacia, thou hast passed the initiation of the rod of light. You are now fortified and healed. In using the rod, you came forth, able now to go onward to the next step." He arose and did pluck from the tree of many blossoms, which shaded the eaves of his cabin. "This white flower, the essence of attar of roses, can neither wither or fade. As long as you wear it and are true to the path, it will keep its freshness. Yet, Pensacia, deviate from the high mountain and your assignment, it dies as all mortal flowers. I prayed that I never betray the purity of this esoteric flower." In a fabulous description, the Master H allows Pensacia to read from the Akashic Record the requirements for the spiritual path and specifically the ascent to the high mountain. As neophyte one starts on the probational boot training of the path, the fundamentals are learned and applied. As a little child one places his hand in faith in the Fathers and learns to know and obey cosmic law. In steady obedience one builds, brick by brick, cementing the essential ingredients within the self needed to awaken the esoteric centers of cosmic contact, making possible the attainment to the foot of the high mountain. Before that comes, one must be born anew within the heart's flame. Long or short is the boot training, according to the sum total of one's obedience to esoteric discipline. All must learn by test and trial, and pass, before they are allowed to go farther. In this boot training all negation must be transmuted. The neophyte must be pure in motive, clean in body. All the virtues of Buddha's Eightfold Path must come forth in action. The seeking of the kingdom within must alone be the search, else the first round cannot be attained. The obedient ones, those who can and will make the ascent to the illumined mountain, receive the living word from the masters, and the crystal light from the Creator on the summit of the high mountain. Those faithful disciples engender and earn the power of the word, the command of nature elementals, and to make the demons to obey. Even as the Nazarene, he bears the initiations of fire, earth, air and water, and in triumph, raises the cross to the bloom of the immortal rose. One prepares step by step to roll away the stone to the sepulchre within his self. In all men, their divinity is buried, awaiting man's consciousness to awaken it. Let this one sentence sink in all who read, for it is the way shower of the path. Those who obey and give their all to know God and the Master's ever aid, bless and redeem their harsh karma, when one has earned the grace. The High Mountain, Bensatia, Euclid Publishing Company, NY, USA, 1978. She further undergoes initiations into the Kabbalah, the Holy Grail, the Bhagavad Gita, Allah, Tao, Zen, Buddhism, the Garden of Gethsemane, the Golden Flame, reminiscent of the Eternal Flame spoken of in my own visions, and many other adventures including sipping from the silver vial, much as I, too, had to drink of the waters of life from the cistern of the angels. Entering into the mysteries of the Golden Flame, the Eternal Flame, respectively, Master H then speaks to her about the journey of twin flames, soulmates, and explains it in the same manner in which I lived it through my own experiences in the mysteries of the redemption. Such is God's law, ever was, is and ever will be, the woman a star that shines ever to blend with the light of her soul, man. Thus the weary, sad mistakes, yet inevitable, man and woman seeking in earth life that love which can only be found here. Not until the sacred petals of the psychic centers open in full and the student learns to transmute and prepares to enter this garden can he ever find the one his soul seeks. For here the only real and true exists. Sometimes, though not often, both enter and find each other at the same time, but more often one enters before the other and then the one who has entered first can only give all he or she has learned into the keeping of the one not yet within the garden. You, see, Bensatia, continued H, even though many have known each other in many incarnations, not until they both have awakened and entered the door of the heart can the union of true love be possible. Therefore, souls on the path, prepare the rosy way, hasten the quickening of all your centers, fulfill your debts to your karmic mates, transmute and obey and soon you will walk in this exalted place the Creator has given for the fulfillment of your cosmic destiny. The positive and the negative mated in a beauty of everlasting love and service, with the signature of the word their betrothal, their marriage service the blending of the two souls in one harmonious flame. The Door of the Heart, Bensatia, Euclid Publishing Company, NY, USA, 1963. Interestingly, I made inquiry with several Rosicrucian organizations and it seems that Pensatia's legacy has been lost to a great many Rosicrucians as well as to the rest of the world. My own estimation is that this is a great tragedy as her work was so profoundly before her time in the 1950s through 1970s. Reading Pensatia reminds me of my own experiences and writing in their picturesque depictions of the heavenly realms and initiations and there is an authenticity that is rare among mystical writers. It was my desire to find out more about Helen Merrick Bond, the voice behind Pensatia, her life, her interests, if and when she died, etc. But so little remains of her legacy, just the tiny tidbits I have shared with you. Her writings remain. Although rare because they are out of print, but they speak boldly of her interior life which was vast and profound. The light is becoming ever more brilliant. The Redeemer, the Living Word, has come to claim its own. It shines out love, compassion, mercy, forgiveness, courage, faith. Partake of its bounty. Dedicate your life, your all, to the glory and wisdom. Thus will happiness, peace and fulfillment be yours. The Magnetic Light, Euclid Publishing Company, NY, USA, 1980. Perhaps in our current time of warring with nations around the world, these words of Master H. Topensasha have special significance. Humanity faces the aftermath of self-made and world karma. Now the mandate is, go with God or perish. Not by force, war, but by evolution, soul and love power exemplified, shall peace be. Man, know thyself, speaks the esoteric word. Thus only can one bridge safely the dark night of ignorance and negation. Ever thusly have the avatars proclaimed the way. The High Mountain, Pensacia, Euclid Publishing Company, NY, USA, 1978. Perhaps the last words to the masses of Pensacia were these, penned in 1980 in her book The Magnetic Light, the last known work of Helen Merrick Bond: be honest in your seeking and dedication to know. Be diligent and responsible to all earthly obligations. Be humble. Be generous in all earthly contacts. When you are ready, the Master will come and guide you to the high mountain and your earthly mission. The light is. Man must realize this to find fulfillment, and peace profound. Now as the Master departed, his aura settled around me like a golden mist. Odor of roses, like incense, permeated the atmosphere. The music of the spheres resounded. A voice echoed within my heart, Pensacia, finished is the magnetic light. May this book journey out to the wide, wide world, and touch the hearts of many, and may each find this light which lights all darkness, all sorrow, all ignorance into life's divine meaning. The Magnetic Light, Pensacia, Euclid Publishing Company, NY, USA, 1980. The books of Pensacia, Helen Merrick Bond, The Door of the Heart, The Stone and Elixir, The Inner Signature, The Master H, The Flame of White, The Rose of Life, The High Mountain, Master H's Call to Humanity, The Disciple and The Master, Living Words from the Master, The Path, The Magnetic Light, The Golden Dawn Vigil. Master H spoke much of personal destiny to Pensacia, a common question that so many seek a feasible answer to in the hopes that his enlightened words may shed deeper light on this process. Yes, readers, there is a path. Seek it not in outward things, countries or cities, but in the citadel of the heart. If one is in earnest, the search will not be in vain, the Masters will see to that. You will find the way, be steady in your quest. Join no spurious man, made cults, pray for the right door to open which will guide you safely through the crucibles and disciplines of the way. When once you have chosen and contacted the outer portal to your pilgrimage, depart not from it, with obedience follow through to the illuminated awakening of cosmic consciousness. It matters not how humble or menial your life. Educated or not, rich or poor, if you desire with all your heart and mind, you are eligible for the great climb. To each in a different way the door will open in your response to my call. One direction I leave with you as this chapter closes. Be still, as and the high adventure to this immortal awakening must come. The Lotus of Wisdom, Pensacia, Euclid Publishing Company, NY, USA, 1968. One cannot jump from the base to the top. The curious, the materialist, the sensual, may never put their feet even on the outskirts of the rosy path. Elimination, transmutation of the lesser, must be, if one seeks the path to the high mountain. The High Mountain, Pensacia, Euclid Publishing Company, NY, USA, 1978. Only those awake in obedience walk the esoteric path of the Masters to the High Mountain of Initiation. By self-made cause and effect man crucifies himself. Only by reclamation in the Christus and the Holy Grail will the living rose of life bloom from man's heart. Scientifically, spiritually, materially, must the inner mysteries be realized by each and every one on this planet, Earth. In order that this be, man must seek beyond the objective into the lost horizons of his immortality. All that is hidden must become known. The joy, grandeur, wonder of the superworld within man himself must be traveled at will by man. Be faithful in little everyday duties. Neglect not the weekly lessons, the tedious repetitions of boot training and procedure necessary to attainment esoteric. Carry out thy holy orders no matter the cost or sacrifice. Remember, all that is let go of in earthly desires shall be returned threefold at the summit of thy pilgrimage. Usually desires change if not sound cosmically. If basically in harmony with cosmic law, whether early or late on the path, desires of the heart are granted one. Many times when least expected they bloom for man. The Lotus of Wisdom, Bensasia, Euclid Publishing Company, NY, USA, 1968. No one becomes a disciple by rapid development. True, one may attain cosmic consciousness in advance of others. This is no gift, but earned from esoteric work performed in other incarnations, or from selfless service, zeal and faith in this life. No side doors of bribery can bring to the student the living rose of life. Those who think so soon eliminate themselves and go their endless round of mental indigestion. They join cults and other schools, thinking there is a shortcut. Alas, too late, they find they have mastered nothing, and know only a jumble of book knowledge. They are called drifters. Such never make the grade even in boot training. No, before you enter any true esoteric door or outer portal, be sure you want it more than breath itself. Not for fame, worldly power or prestige or occult magic or love for self. If this be so, set not your foot thereon, for you will fail by the deceit of your own false intentions. For a while it may appear you are attaining the great mysteries, yet just when you think you have the stone and elixir all will crumble. For only honesty and pureness of heart can walk the tightrope to the most high mountain. The Lotus of Wisdom, Bensasia, Euclid Publishing Company, NY, USA, 1978. At the Immaculate Table wherever sits the Christ, come in reverence. Bow down and listen. Hear him say to each disciple, "Thou art whole, go forth in peace." In thy heart sing like a bird of the morning skies. Fight not, but live in brotherhood straight, eternally young with the nectar of the Absolute for thy nourishment as well as nature's abundance. With gracious deeds and thoughts cover thy walking mission. Laugh much and hurry not to gain temporal things. Rather ever hunger for the divine in all life. The Master H. Bensasia, Euclid Publishing Company, NY, USA, 1961. When man earns and becomes conscious of his soul, the body of light is henceforth the captain of his earthly journey. From then on the physical body is the faithful servant of man's divine self. Until this happens, man is driftwood on the sea of mire. The Path, Bensasia, Euclid Publishing Company, NY, USA, 1972. Now the light of his aura beamed out and down into the darkness of man's ignorance. With a resounding flow of Om, his fingertips touched earth's loam. And the word, alive from his throat, resounded over the living rose. With the waters of life, he baptized man. All who were ready, all those seeking, were ignited to enter and walk the king's highway to the high mountain. Its lofty peak rose high in cosmic citadel. And a gentle breeze, yet quick in action, fanned man's inertia to life. Such is the impact and influence of the hierarchical masters, those of the White Lodge, those who bring the light from the east, those who shoot the cosmic arrow into man's heart, those who sound the drum of the word out to all humanity. Such is the path, the way shower of the Aquarian Age, the lighthouse to man's liberation from mire. Reverend John McGowan, Forgotten Protestant Mystic. Reverend John McGowan was a Baptist minister of the Gospel in Devonshire Square, London, who lived from 1726 to 1780. Somewhat controversial in his time and certainly in our own, he wrote a great deal of work, not all of it mystical. But he is most remembered for the most controversial aspect of his theology, which came about after undergoing an unusual mystical experience wherein he was given to enter into the infernal abodes and begin listening to the diabolical dialogues of the devils, and by so doing, learning the various ways that the dark side would easily subvert such simple souls as ourselves. Here follows his own recollection of the event which led to the writing of this fascinating work, The Story of Reverend John McGowan. Know then, that not far from my humble cot, there is a widely extended, most tremendous and gloomy veil, first formed, as is supposed, by some dreadful earthquake, or some other remarkable convulsion in nature. The confines of this valley, on the outside, are everywhere nearly level with the surface of the ground, but the precipice within is to the last degree horrible, inasmuch that few have fortitude enough to approach it. The ancient bards very justly called it Horrid de Vallis, and we from them, the Vale of Horrors. This horrid vale has long been supposed, by the credulous vulgar, to be the haunt of infernal spirits, and some people imagine that it is the only place on earth where they freely converse about the dark designs of their maladministration. My curiosity continually prompting me, at last conquered my native timidity, and I resolved, if possible, to find an entrance into this unfrequented, unknown, and dreadful place. But many months, I may say some years, were spent in this fruitless search, and I despaired of success. At length, however, having entered a very large and unfrequented wood, one side of which led to the very edge of the precipice, as I walked a few furlongs down a gradual descent, gloomy beyond whatever I had seen before, I came to a huge rock, all overgrown with ivy and moss. It had the appearance of an ancient ruin, somewhat in the form of a pyramid. The bottom occupied a considerable space, and the spiral top was hardly concealed by the highest branches of the tall and aged oaks which surrounded it. Near the ground, by chance, I discovered an opening almost choked up with baleful hemlock and nightshade. At first I thought that this could be no other than the cave of some ancient druid, but approaching it, and having with much toil cleared away the noxious weeds, I found, what I had long sought for, an entrance into the dreadful cavity. Here my resolution almost failed me, and I was at the point of relinquishing the long projected enterprise. At length I recollected myself a little, and resolved to descend into the place, though, as I thought, not much less horrible than hell. The passage, a little within the entrance, led downwards almost in a perpendicular direction, but its straightness, and the natural unevenness of the rocks that formed it, rendered my descent more practicable and safe than I at first expected. Down, however, I went, fathoms I know not how many, ere I found myself at the bottom, and from an easy opening entered the gloomy vale. Looking up, I saw rocks upon rocks projecting over my timorous head, and I perceived myself to be within the most hideous enclosure that ever mortal eyes beheld.